Paul D. Miller is better known as DJ Spooky, that subliminal kid, an electronic and experimental hip-hop musician. He's a turntablist and producer. He's also the author of a book called Rhythm Science. In the book, DJ Spooky writes about how he creates audio art, much of which involves sampling, taking existing pieces of sound and transforming them into new works. DJ Spooky talked to Ann Strainchamps about rhythm science and the fine art of sampling.
It speaks to multiple cultural spaces, you know, like sort of simultaneously. And sampling and editing and the way people really put together digital culture these days is every part of even what I'm saying now will probably be edited in some way, shape, or form. So you eventually get to the point where you realize editing itself is the inheritor of collage. You know, you can see a century of Pablo Picasso. You can see a century of early Marcel Duchamp. You can see a century of French poets like Apollinaire or Mallarmé doing their symbolist cut-up poetry. Radio, TV, satellite broadcasts, everything is edits. The software that we use to edit is just as much a part of the artwork, you know? So it's connected. I think of sampling as saying, look, all right, we have this incredibly dense media landscape that we, you know, as human beings have made and we've moved into. It's not really outside of us anymore, or it probably never was. So writing is kind of old school, you know, it's really two-dimensional. And sampling is like, well, let's unpack what we think of as a text and say that this is a memory and this is a game we're going to play, and that makes things fun. Sampling is saying, look, we're with information overload and you want to tailor things till they make sense for you. The 20th century was mass culture, mass standardization. The 21st is about mass customization, making everything fit to your specific taste and needs.
So are you also saying that this idea of originality, which has been such a key idea in art, is sort of outmoded?
Not necessarily. I just think the idea of originality is, and the intense hunger the West has for the new is kind of overrated. Because the new is always an extension of the old, and the old is always an extension of something else that came before. One of my favorite poets and writers, Ralph Waldo Emerson, has a great essay in the mid-19th century called Of Quotation and Originality. You know, and he was talking about this whole American ideal of the new, and it was just a really great essay. I'm a big fan of Emerson and the early American transcendentalist movement, you know, Walt Whitman and Thoreau and all these guys.
Mm. In your book, Rhythm Science, there's a quotation from that Emerson essay, something like, it's as difficult to appropriate the thoughts of others as it is to invent.
Yeah. Emerson really got the idea of why I think America is the culture of quotation, because the soundbite, this fragment, the ad, you know, all of these kinds of advertising that we see these days, whether it's cell phone banners or website text banners, you know, it's just, it's eerily about the micro niche, you know, like people just respond to small snippets. And sampling is on the vanguard of that, whether it's Quentin Tarantino's films where he takes all these scenes from Asian cinema but then redoes them. Some of the biggest films in the last couple of years, there's one called The Ring. It's set in a Japanese culture, but the remake of it was kind of funny because it was set in L.A. or something. Newness in the West, if you look at what's going on with Japanese or if you look at what's going on with Chinese or India, Bollywood film, I mean, they say, like, what is new? Nothing's new. What are you talking about? But for us, you know, we're living in the era of the franchise, the sequel, and those are still, you know, Star Wars is the parable of it all, really. You know, you have this nonlinear film where George Lucas releases version 11 and then number 3. And you know, it's all come home to roost. That's all. Your average kid now is just thinking life is a big video game or something.
So let's talk about a few specific examples of your music. There's a CD that comes with your book, Rhythm Science, and one track includes a reading from James Joyce. He's reading from Finnegan's Wake.
Well, you know, or don't you tell it, or have I told you, every telling is a tailing, and that's the he and the she. Look, the dusk is growing. My branches lofty are taking root, and my cold chair's gone ashy.
Will you tell me something about the process you went through in making that piece?
Yeah, Rhythm Science, my book was kind of focused on how do you get people to think of sampling and digital media and this kind of collage-based style of writing as an inheritor of all these early avant-garde movements. So what's funny about writing a book and then having the CD is that the pun there is you're looking at Marshall McLuhan, you know, you're looking at the medium is the massage. That was one of his kind of clever word plays. And I consider DJing and sampling as pure McLuhan-esque, and the way that he dealt with media hot and cool, the idea of mechanical brides, the uncanny. So my book really is a homage to that, but also looking at sound and memory. So say, for example, the records that I included, I had Tristan Tzara's Dada Manifestos, Marcel Duchamp's lectures on creativity, Gertrude Stein's poetry, a Cubist portrait of Picasso.
If I told him, completed portrait of Picasso. If I told him, would he like it? Would he like it if I told him? Would he like it? Would the golden?
All these kinds of heroes of the Academy, for them to get mixed with stuff like Wu-Tang Clan or... The mashup is like, I like to think of my book as the academic equivalent of what Danger Mouse did with the Grey album, where he took the Beatles' White album and mixed it with Jay-Z's The Black album. Mm-hmm. You know, it was a very funny album, the Danger Mouse. But my book was saying, okay, this is a different kind of literacy, and you're going to prioritize how you relate to the high versus low. You know, is remixing James Joyce art, or is it just some kid in the studio messing around? It's the same thing with Duchamp putting a sink urinal on the wall. There's a kind of a tricksterism going on here.
So you're saying that this partly this combination of sort of conceptual high art with popular culture goes way back?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if there's one thing that you look at throughout the 20th century, all the artists were tricksters. They were playing with perception. You had the Cubist movement where they broke down human form. You had all the kinds of literary tropes that the Dada guys would cut up words and scramble them and use different fonts to make their manifestos. So you had the Italian futurist, my particular favorite. Luigi Russolo had this great manifesto where he has this book called The Art of Noise, which is a classic 1913, 1915. You know, it's a pretty intense book where he's like, the city itself is my compositional tool, originality, forget it, we need to blow up the museums and like try to bring in noise generators, and he had, you know, these loudspeakers on stage, and there would be riots. People would say, where's the orchestra? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I've quoted the orchestra out of existence. You're just hearing, you know, it's wild stuff. So I love playing with that. But the whole 20th century, like Warhol's, you know, kind of pun about culture of copies, where he would just do the same soup can, or Jeff Koons in the 80s, where he had statues made of himself, you know, like as copies as well.
Ask you about one of your newest projects, DJ Spooky's Rebirth of a Nation. Will you tell me something about that project?
Okay, that's my first film. I'm editing it as we speak. For the last year and a half, I've been touring it live as a big concert kind of thing. In fact, one of the wildest shows is we got the Greek government to let us play the film at the Acropolis, the Herodicus Theater.
Wow.
They're like, why does he want to project a Ku Klux Klan film at the Acropolis? But yeah, the whole idea is comedy and tragedy, you know, the theater of the absurd. And looking back to 1915, Griffiths, of course, he's one of America's premier filmmakers, but he's kind of the DNA of American cinema. You know, he invented the close-up. He invented the idea of multiple stories going on. So my remix of it was to take that kind of editing technique and apply DJ technique to it and say this is a collision between what he's doing with the editing technique and looking at structure, you know, how he really was a brilliant manipulator of emotion. In fact, if you look at a lot of the early propaganda films of the era, like Sergei Eisenstein or Leni Riefenstahl, they all quote him. Or even later people like Francis Ford Coppola. There's a famous scene in Apocalypse Now where the helicopters are flying in over the horizon to strafe this village and they start playing Wagner.
But Birth of a Nation was, it's kind of like a KKK recruitment film. It's one of the most racist films ever made.
Oh, sure.
So what made you want to pick that one?
There's two issues at hand. One, I want to assure all the audience out there, I'm not a Klan member. As an African-American, my mom asked me this. She was like, Paul, don't you know this film is totally racist? I was like, yes. And the point being is that let's decode some of the issues here. You have an occupied nation. You have people in blackface. You have a political environment of corruption. You have a film that shows the first flawed election. You know, there's a scene where the whites are turned away by black voters, which is kind of ironic if you look at the last couple of elections in the U.S. So I view the film as quite current, not necessarily about just pounding you over the head with race issues, but looking at political, economic, and above all, the use of propaganda to create a war environment.
What do you do with the film? I mean, in your remix, what do people see when they come to see it?
They see a triptych. There's three screens. The main screen is the remix, and the two side screens are the images of the sequence that you just saw. So it gives people an idea of the original versus the remix, and I kind of juxtapose it. For the commercial DVD, which I'm editing now, it's going to be remixable cinema. So you put the DVD in, and I'm having Kronos Quartet play the soundtrack of my compositions. There's going to be a remixable soundtrack, too.
You know, in the high art world, the world of conceptual art that you're partly playing in, sampling comes awfully close to plagiarism. So is there a line, I mean, a difference between the two, or is the whole idea of plagiarism just an outmoded idea?
Well, whenever I think of when you say the high-low, I automatically go to Marcel Duchamp's Sink Urinal, which is he took a well-known work of a utility and put it on the gallery wall. And it was controversial, like, big time. People, there were almost riots. People were really pissed off. I mean, even the term, of course, pissed off, all puns intended. And, you know, how do we think about originality? Did I make up the words I'm using and the language that we're both using? No, I'm using bits and clips, words that became popular, words that evolved. You know, so sampling and plagiarism are part of your vocabulary. Everybody quotes and everybody takes bits and pieces of well-known bits of other people's phrases. That's how you build your vocabulary. Look at DNA. DNA constantly is recycling itself. That's plagiarism. I look at it much more as a kind of environmental, ecological, like info-ecology, where, yeah, you have these networks. You have bits and pieces flying around that everybody is sort of downloading and using. And plagiarism is essentially just saying it's like cannibalism, but it's ancestor worship. You know, you might have a little soup of papa, but at the end of the day, you know, you're still, it's like playing with respect for the history of things.
Paul D. Miller, also known as DJ Spooky, that subliminal kid. He spoke with N. Strange Champs about his book Rhythm Science. DJ Spooky also has a track on Yoko Ono's new album, Yes, I'm a Witch, which features guest artists remixing and reworking Ono's music.